In the name of Jesus, amen. It's pretty astounding. The first and the last words out of Jesus' mouth on the cross, the first is, "Father, forgive them." And the last is, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." It's almost as if Jesus is teaching us the way to the Father, even as he hangs on the cross to die for our sins and rise for our forgiveness. Father. This isn't the first place where we've heard him cry out to his Father, because it was his Father that, and the promises that God had made to his Son, that kept Jesus strong to go all the way into Jerusalem, suffer at the hands of sinful men, and die. And it was his Father's promises that gave rise for him to cry out at the end, "Father, into your hands I commend my soul." That's the way we live. That's the way we die. And in between all of that, there's so much confusion, just as it is in the world today. God has many names according to the world, but Father isn't usually among them. So you see, even on the cross, Jesus teaches us how to speak to God. And he cries out right after the first phrase, they don't know what they're doing. Acts tells us that they crucified the Son of God out of ignorance, completely oblivious what was going on. And you can see that from their responses and the things that they said. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And the guards probably got a little bored at that point, sat down under the shadow of the cross and divide up his garment, play dice to see whose it will become. And the people just gawked at Jesus, stood there looking at him with tongues wagging, mouths open. And strangely, even some of the rulers gathered along with the crowd. They would never on another occasion be seen with this kind of low life. And yet you see just the darkness of this hour where evil joins both the high and the low. And they sneered and said, "He saved others, let him save himself." They didn't know what they were doing. Jesus did not come to save himself. In fact, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. "Let him save himself if he is the Christ." By nature, we don't know this. And yet still, with blissful ignorance, we do know, unlike the crowds, that he is the Christ, the one that God the Father had set aside. He was the chosen of God, the one man who would please the Father on behalf of the world. The soldiers also mocked him and offered him sour wine, pretending to give him something to slake his thirst, and cry out, "If you are the King of the Jews even, save yourself." Again, for this reason I came, not to get out of this, but to give up my life as a ransom. And king he was. And then Pilate writes in Greek and Latin and Hebrew, the Greek was the language The Hebrew was the Latin of the people. The Hebrew was the language of the people. The Latin was the common language of the Romans. Hebrew and Aramaic. And yet, you see how God pulls together all these different castes. Those that are high and mighty, those that are in the middle, and those at the lowest level. And to be king for them, he willingly, and this is a different king unlike any other, who rules and dictates and orders. This is the king that gives up his life and he goes first. And we follow in his train. And he rules the world, Ephesians says, in the interest of his church. This is the king that comes with grace. This is the king that comes to serve and to feed and to tend and to care and to protect. Not to save himself. And then one of the criminals hollered out at Jesus, and again, he knew not either, "If you are the Christ, the one sent by God, save yourself and us." But the other rebukes him and says, "Don't you even fear God? Do you have a conscience? Do you see that you rightly are deserving of what you've done?" But this man, now it begins to come clear, has done nothing wrong. Either in a conversation there on the cross, or he'd heard words of Jesus along the way, or somebody had told him about this Savior. He's right, and like a sheep before its shears, Christ has done nothing wrong. And then he says to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Out of sorrow and then trusting in this one, Jesus then gives him the absolution and the promise, "I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." And the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness over all of the earth, almost as if the earth was just sad about what had happened. And the sun, he no longer shone. But it also, I think, is a picture of God's wrath over his son as he turns away from him, doesn't answer his prayer as he cries to the cross and leaves him to hang, not with his sin, but the world's sin. And then that veil in the temple torn in two, like we heard Sunday. And then Jesus finally cries out with a loud voice and says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. The wrath of God was satisfied. The sacrifice for sin was paid. Atonement was made. Blood was shed. God's blood. Innocent blood. The shepherd gives up his life for the sheep and finishes his work. Sometime between this and Easter, he also went to hell and preached to the spirits in prison and showed them that not even your father, the devil, can destroy the Son of God. The first word and the last word, Father. That's how we call him. And we look to him to be our forgiver, and we look to him when we breathe our last. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. For Jesus' sake, amen.